Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Until the scriptures become a person to you, they're just going to be words on a page. You know, everybody starts out as baby Christians the same way. Just like Caitlin is a baby at stage two right now, you can kind of get on the internet actually and figure out where she should be in her development. Because all two-year-olds are about the same. We all develop a little different, but they have basic checkpoints that you can look at. And they should be able to feed themselves by now and things like that, you know. So the same is true in the spirit realm. When you first enter into the kingdom of God and you get born again, if this human spirit gets born again, it's very similar to the development of a baby. Now, everybody, of course, the thing that's really different about developing spiritually and growing spiritually is the fact that growing spiritually has to do with you cooperating with the Word and the, or God, and having some revelation come to you that will help you develop your human spirit. And probably understanding some things I want to share. Maybe I just follow my heart again this morning and just share this, that it's really, you look at some folks and you think, why do they act like they do? Why do they do the things they do? Why do they say the things they say? You ever just kind of wonder what made them do that? What made them act like that? Well, I'm doing about the same thing with a two-year-old. I'm thinking, why did she just pour that whole plate of food on the floor? What was that about? What was she thinking? Or why did she just pull all the toilet paper off the roll? Fun. But there was no consequences in her mind, right? There's a lot of things about a baby that they do without realizing there's consequences. Well, you have to teach them there's consequences. And sometimes it's a swat on the behind, you know? But if you don't teach them properly, they'll continue to act bad. You got to correct bad behavior. But going back to this, when we get born again, it is a whole new way of life. Learning to live for God is not learning to live like you've always lived. And what has happened in the church world, is that most people get born again and they continue to try to live like the world and think God's going to have to cooperate with them based on their understanding of the world and the way they've done things in the past. It's almost like we get born again and we say, okay, God, this is how I've always done it, so you're just going to have to follow and go along with me. And God is saying, no, 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 it's nothing like that. I can't go along with you. I can't. You know, I'll be there with you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I can only bless you so far in that area of your life until you learn to grow up and listen to God and learn to be obedient to God and be aware that there is something called the inward witness. There's something called the inward witness. The inward witness can be the most difficult thing to learn to hear, because God on the old covenant would lead his people by the prophet. The ministry and the anointing of the prophet. And they needed direction. Should we go to battle? Should we do this? Or should we do that? They would go to the prophet and they would ask the prophet, the seer. They called him the seer in the Old Testament. But in the New Covenant dispensation, we do not have, you're not supposed to be led by prophets anymore. God doesn't lead his people by prophets anymore. People running here to hear a prophet word, a word from the prophet, a word from the prophet. Prophets, God said we're not led by that anymore. We're led by the Holy Ghost who lives in us, and it's called the inward witness. And a lot of times our brains will override the inward witness. And learning to hear and understand that this is God prompting you to do something, or is it just you prompting yourself to do something? How do you know if it's God or if it's the devil or if it's you just wanting your way? Because we all got this thing called a will, right? And it's amazing how that if somebody really wants to do something, I mean, just as a human natural person, if they really want something, They will put money back for it. They will make arrangements in their life to get it. They will get up earlier than normal to get it. Whatever they got to do to get the goal, what they really want, it's amazing how they'll get it. It's just amazing. It really is a matter of how determined are you to get what you want. And only if God, I know the Lord must say, if only my children would be that determined to know me. Only if they would just be that determined to get over in the spirit realm and learn to listen to me. God will make you rich. God will make you rich if you can learn to listen to him. And I don't mean rich as far as just having lots of money. Being rich means full supply. Rich means full supply. Full supply. I'm talking nothing missing, nothing broken, full supply. Completeness, wholeness, soundness. You know, to be rich is wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful to be rich. Full supply. Full supply. Full supply. You can't listen to that song we just sang and not feel the full supply available. I can't look at what Jesus did and realize, hey, there's full supply available to me. The grave could not hold him because he wears the victory. He's got victory over everything. And because he is in me, he's in me, I got victory over everything too. Full supply. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I don't care how bad it looks, how it feels, what my emotions say. I have full supply in every situation because he is more than a conqueror. He is the conqueror. He is the victor. But getting past looking at a page and just saying, okay, these are words and I got to study the word of God. I got to read the Bible. I got to read. I got to pray. I got to read. It's just like such a boring way of life. In fact, you don't have any idea of how many people have come up to me over the years and said, what do you do for fun? You have a boring life. You never go anywhere. You don't party. See, I got my belly full of that stuff. I have had a lot of times partying, believe me. I've done my partying time. And I'm so glad I got that out of my system and came to the end of me. And now I got to get all the God of me in me I can get. And God being God inside-minded really is having a revelation knowledge and working revelation knowledge. It's not just having revelation in your head. You got it in your heart. And until you come into the understanding of what the heart revelation is all about, you're still going to be developed. You're going to be underdeveloped. You're not going to be developed properly. You and I have got to decide we got a will here, right? We have got to know the will of God. Bottom line, I know what I want, but what does God want? What is the will of God for me? And how do I hear God's word for me? How do I have a relationship for me? I'd like to see everybody have a will and a revelation for God's will and a desire for God. But I can't make that happen for anybody, but I can only make that happen for me. I have to know the will of God for me. For me. And it's a developmental thing. This lady right here, probably, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, she told me, Teresa, you're supposed to quit your job and you're supposed to preach. And I looked at Darlene, I remember her telling me that probably 20 years ago, and I said, Darlene, there ain't no way. There is no way that I can quit my job and just preach. Now, I just couldn't see any way. I couldn't see any way possible that that could happen. It just wasn't in me to see that, okay? It just wasn't, at that point in my life, it wasn't in me yet. That I hadn't developed to that place yet. I hadn't come to that place in my walk with God yet. And there's a lot of things that God wants us to do in our lives, but we just haven't developed to that point. It's like God is sitting there waiting on us to get over into his program, to get over to his will for you. He knows the plans. He said, my plans for you. But it takes time for the baby in us to get out of the way and grow up. It takes time for us to get in developmental stage to where we walk in the spirit more than in our old flesh and more than in our old reasoning factors and our own reasoning abilities and our own circle, all the things that make you who you are. Your sphere of influence. That's what it is. Things have influenced you and you have experienced certain things in your life, and therefore you've been hurt, or you've been, and there's things that have spheres of influence in your life that has made you and molded you to this point where you are. In other words, we can't get past that sphere of influences in our lives. In other words, we, like the baby. The baby has fallen, and now it's scared to death of stairs, for example. And so it'll never walk up another set of stairs because it's afraid of the fall. It remembers the fall rather than being, and that's all that the baby maybe can think. Or there's some people, I don't know if you've ever met people like this, but they've been in a car accident and they will never drive a car again. It just has so developmentally influenced them to the point that they are crippled in that area and they'll never drive a car again. I've met people like that. So what I'm trying to say here is that there's things that bring us, that we are born into sin. We are dominated by demonic things and the world system. We are, the devil was our father. Jesus said that, you know, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And yes, that was a, he was a tough taskmaster. He was a hard, living for the devil was hard. You know, I'm telling you, the ways, the Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. And he has no pity, he has no mercy. And people that are out here in the world that do not know God or away from God, they have a hard way to hoe, a hard road to hoe. And they have a hard way of life. And they don't see beyond their own circumstance. They can't, they have no hope. They're hopeless. They're hopeless people. And all they've got is their wit. All they've got is their influences that they've developed and the understandings they have. That's all they can go by is their own wit, their own reasoning, their own faculties. And pretty much survival skills that they've developed that have got them to where they are, depending on what they've been through in life. They're void of the Word of God. They're void of revelation knowledge. They're void of the things of the Spirit. They're void of the Holy Ghost. They don't have any relationship whatsoever with God. So therefore, you've got a whole bunch of people out here that are just trying to do the best they can do and do the best they can. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? But see, when we come into the born-again experience then, because we've already had all that baggage on us and we've already done all these things to make it so far, we want to continue that same pattern. And the same fears that we bring into our relationship with God are still there many times. A lot of our problems and circumstances, the spheres of influence that have influenced us and made us who we are, we can't hardly get rid of them at all. It really is hard for some folks to lay down some things. Like, I couldn't imagine not working. I couldn't even begin to even think in that realm. It was like beyond my ability. Oh, surely, I just have to work. Surely, I mean, I just couldn't imagine not working. I've worked my whole life. And I mean, I've worked even when I didn't work. I mean, I worked all the time. I've always been a worker. And I love to work. I don't mind working. I'm not lazy at all. I've never been one to sit on the couch and even watch a television show clear through. It's hard for me to sit down for 5 minutes and do anything on sitting down. I'm just a mover. You understand? I've always been a mover. And I've always been, my personality. But to not work and not make money, I just couldn't imagine that. Okay? But see, I knew I had a call on my life. Well, you know, Jesus shows up in your living room and you have this awesome experience with God. And for 2 months, you're walking around in a cloud. And, you know, all kinds of wild stuff. Things are flying through the air and doors are being opened in the middle of the night. I mean, you've just got demons on your back and demons on your head and things screaming at you through the night. I mean, you know, you're fighting warfare. You're in a spiritual warfare. And you start realizing, man, I better get some revelation knowledge here. And even in all the years I've studied the Word and all the years I've prayed and all the years I've had to fight the devil and have to stand and do and the things I've done, God has been with me in my development. He'll be with you in your development, right? You all know what I'm talking about. It's a walk. It's a develop. Just remember, what I'm sharing here this morning is about development. What I'm sharing here this morning is about victory. Because the goal is how to walk in victory How to walk in his victory is really what it is. How to get past you and your determination and your strong will and your the things that you understand and get over into his understanding. Understand the word of God the way he understands the word of God. Understand and look at things the way he looks at things. Learn to get the mind of Christ on every situation. Learn how to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, because that's really where we're coming to in these last days. It's not going to be how intellectual we are. It's not going to be how much head knowledge we have. It's not even going to be able how much scripture you can quote. It's not about how much you know the word. It's about how well do you know the Holy Spirit and the inward witness, and how well are you listening to him when he prompts you to do something? Are you being obedient to the Holy Ghost when he tells you something, when he leads and guides you and prompts you to do something? How quickly do you obey that prompting? Because it could be a matter of life and death. It could be a matter of putting you over or keeping you where you are. It could be a matter of getting you rich or making you just keeping you idle all the time. Keep on keeping on doing the things you've done. I'd still be working a secular job right now if I hadn't developed in this area of my life. If I had not been determined to develop my human spirit to where I am 100% listening to the Holy Spirit and guidance by the Holy Ghost and doing what he tells me to do. And do I ever miss it? Oh, yes, I've missed it. Yes, I still miss it. But I don't miss it like I used to miss it. I don't miss God nearly as much as I used to miss him. I have missed God so many times in relationships and situations, but I'm no more. Mm-mm. I come into a place where I feel I'm getting ready to take a step and make a new move. And I hear... I have something called an inward witness. Let's call it the red light, the green light, and the yellow light of your heart. Let's call it the witness of your heart. Is this, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I'm going to go do this, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, there might be a, don't do that. Well, why not? It looks right. It seems right. See, the head's working. You got to remember, you've got wheels turning up here based on your sphere of influence of your past. And there's these wheels turning, and you think, but if I don't do this, this will happen. And if I don't do that, that will happen. And if I don't do, I mean, all these factors in our mind, we begin to reason. But if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, who knows everything, he knows, you know, do you know the Holy Ghost? Never, ever, there's a scripture that says, he'll never speak but what he hears. He only speaks to you and me what he hears from Jesus. You have a personal hotline to God. 100% of the time, you are hotwired. You are more hotwired than you realize. We are hotwired to heaven. You have a high priest. He is your personal high priest. He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for you. Oh, but he just does all that for somebody else. Oh, no, he's doing it for you personally. He's your high priest. He's ever mindful of you. Remember, he died for you. He's so big and he's so awesome that he's capable of thinking about you 24/7. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's Alpha and Omega. He said it in Revelations. I'm the beginning. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. He said, I know the beginning and I know the ending. So don't you think he doesn't know your beginning and your ending? Don't you think he knows where you are right now and the outcome, the end of that thing? He has a plan and it's always good. God never thinks bad. He never plans bad. He never thinks bad. He's always got a good outcome. Always. But if we will not listen to the Holy Ghost, it may not be such a good outcome. We have to learn to listen to God. We have to learn how to be led by the Spirit, because the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 14, that they that are the led of the Spirit are the sons of God. And how to be led by the Spirit has to do with you hearing God and listening to God. You mean God doesn't just yank me and tug me and pull me and say, you got to do this and you need to do that? No. What's so irritating for me for many years was, God, how come it's so hard to hear you? How come you don't talk louder than the radio? How come you don't talk louder than the television man or the preacher on the TV? How come I don't hear you, God, like I hear somebody else out here? How come you make it so hard to hear you? Why is it so hard to hear God? And then on top of that, once you hear God, why is it so hard to obey God? Then why am I dealing with so much disobedience in my own heart? Why does it make it so hard to hear God and then so hard to obey God? You see, there's stages in development as a believer. There's stages you can get so stuck in the rut and stuck in the rut. You ever been stuck in a rut? I've been stuck in ruts, and it's hard to get out of a rut. It's hard to get past that rut. It's hard to get, you got to have a push sometimes to get out of the rut. You get your wheels stuck in a rut and you can't hardly move forward, can you? That's the devil's plan, is to keep you in a rut. He don't want you moving forward into the things of the kingdom. He doesn't want you to hear the word of God. He doesn't want you to hear the will of God. He doesn't want you to hear the voice of God. He doesn't want you to obey God. He doesn't want you to move forward in the things of God. And honestly, he will come and deceive you and tell you things and make you think that you're doing the will of God and you're not even doing the will of God. Because Eve is a perfect example. God said, the day that you eat the fruit of the, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you do it, you'll die. You'll surely die. And Adam had told her that. And the serpent comes along, the devil, and he said, questioned. He put a question. Did God really say that? Is that really the will of God for your life, for you to not eat of that tree? You mean to tell me that beautiful tree over there with that beautiful fruit is forbidden to you? You know, you are special. And then he asked the question. He put a doubt in her mind that that was not the will of God. Did he really tell you that, or do you not know that God knows that the day you eat it, you'll be wise like him? So the thought came, this is where we miss the will of God. This is where I miss the will of God, and I've missed the will of God many, many times in my life. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? This is where we miss the will of God for us, is that we do not hear the clear direction of the Holy Spirit for us. The clear direction. What is the will of God for me? My will. God has got a plan for you that is not the same plan he has for me. For me to fulfill the plan he has for me requires me to hear God and take the necessary steps to go in that direction. And it may not happen I may not be there this time next year, but if I continue to hear the will of God, maybe I will be there next year. But if I continue to be in disobedience and don't listen to the will of God, it might take me 2 or 3 years to get there. But I could speed it up, maybe get there in a month if I really mind God and do what he says. You see, there's things that are conditional in getting where God wants you to be in the plan that he has for you personally. Now, it's always the will of God for you to be healed 100% of the time. It's always the will of God for you to have power, love, and a sound mind 100% of the time. There's certain things that are just no-brainers. You just come to understand that it's always the will of God for you to walk in health. It's 100% his plan for you to walk in healing. But I'm talking even beyond those things. I'm talking about what is the plan of God for me? Am I just treading water every day of my life? Am I just treading water? Am I going anywhere? Have I got direction here? Have I have somebody on board me who's going to lead me and guide me? You see, there's scriptures that said that he said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe that 100%. And I have those words she spoke to me years ago have always bothered me. Quit my job? Quit my job and preach? It was just like, Darlene, that is just crazy. Crazy talk. You're talking crazy. But do you know, to come to find out, I started hearing God. And I heard God say, I want you to shut this business down. Shut it down and give it up. And I was on track to $100,000 a year. $100,000, you helped me with my business. Had a beautiful office, didn't I? I have had so many job offers, it was crazy. Edward Jones wanted me. The U.S. Bank wanted me. I was working on my Series 6 and my Series 6 and 63 investor's license in 2006. I was studying to be an investor. I made 5,000 dollars on long-term care insurance alone. Made that kind of money on just selling long-term in 1 month. I sold that many policies. And I made $5,000 clear money in 1 month just selling long-term care. I can sell you. I can sell you something. I'm a salesperson. Now I'm a salesperson for Jesus. Now I sell for him. Amen. Now I sell the word of God. Now I give people revelation of the word through the Holy Spirit's help, of course. But I'm telling you, when you have gifts and you have talents, God will take them and use them for his glory. Now I was using them for my glory because I thought money was the way to make it. I thought money was the way to have everything and to be able to help other people and tithe. And, you know, that was my thinking. My thinking. But honestly, I have an ear to hear. I have an ear to hear the voice of God. And I've always wanted to hear the voice of God. But the thing that is so amazing is how we override the voice of God. We can also override the voice of God. Because we can't imagine. What? If you ever get a thought, and God ever kind of just drops a thought into your spirit, in your heart, you'll know. And you'll see, maybe you'll hear a voice and you hear a word and you'll think, or a thought will come. And you'll think, man, that is crazy. I could never do that. Be careful that that's not your own mind trying to put a roadblock in that, whatever it is God's telling you to do. You know, for you to become an astronaut, for Elijah to ever have a thought, well, I'm going to become an astronaut. Well, whatever crazy thing might sound to you, don't throw it out the window. It could really be God trying to get it over into you, a word into you. I was so on track to make a lot of money. And I would have been making a lot of money right now. I mean, even with the stock market going down like it did. I sold 66 whole life policies in 1 year. I got a $2,500 bonus from New York Life. I was selling Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I haven't sold hardly anything in the last 6, 7, 8 years. Or 6 years. And I'm telling you, I'm still getting money coming in, hits my checking account on a regular basis. As long as those people keep those insurance policies, I'm making a residual. Insurance companies, insurance agents make a lot of money. But it didn't get there overnight either. I had to apply myself. I had to study. I had to go to school. I had to go to training. I had to get my license. I still got to continue education license if I want to keep my license. So those things are things you have to do in the natural. Well, how much more important is the things that we do in the spiritual realm to get the revelation knowledge, not head knowledge, revelation knowledge of what God wants us to become and what God wants to accomplish in our lives. Because I believe this with all my heart. I believe that most Christians, I'd say maybe 90 out of 100 will live their entire life based on their former way of living and never get over into the life that God really has for them to live their whole life out. And it may take them in their 50s to really hear and obey, get to a place where you can even obey God. It took me in my 50s to finally get to a place where I'm willing to obey God. And when he told me to lay down that business, after I worked so hard to get it, I had invested $10,000, I bought state-of-the-art everything, I just jumped in head first. I'd worked for 20 years in dentistry, making lots of money for doctors. I'd worked for doctors my whole life. 20 years of my life and saw, but that was my gift. See, I have a gifting in people. I have a rapport. God just has given me that gift. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a talent. God has given everybody something they can do, and it's to give him glory, to give him honor, and to get knowledge is good. I got head knowledge. But when it comes to getting into the things of the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Ghost, that's a whole different way of life, But hearing the will of God has to do with revelation knowledge. Glory. So this verse, no weapon formed against you can prosper. Let's take that and put that with every single scripture. With every single thing you'll ever face in life. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Nobody has to seek out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Everybody. This is what we're going to be judged by. This is what scares me. I'm afraid for people for this reason right here. Because the word of God is the word of God, right? And he says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, right? And God says it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away from my word to pass away. He said it won't pass away. His word will never pass away. So this is an established word that is an eternal word that no weapon formed against you can prosper. And so if there's anything that comes against you to keep you from being what you're supposed to be, then you're actually counteracting that word and you're believing the lie more than you are the creator, the liar than the creator, the truther, the the person that tells the truth. So the bottom line is, no weapon that formed against you can prosper means that there's nothing can stop you from ever becoming what God has called you to become. It's impossible for you to not become what you want to be, because the Word of God declares that there's no weapon that can stop you. There's no situation, there's no circumstance that can stop you from prospering. There's nothing, and that's because that's what that scripture says. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Nothing. Nothing can ever stop you from fulfilling the plan of God. Ever. No person, no situation, no circumstance, no relationship. Nothing can prosper against you from becoming what God's plan is for your life. No weapon that is formed against you can prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment. See, this is more than just one part of that. One part of that. The plan that God has for you and me has got to be the most important thing we ever fulfill, ever. And if you don't know what the plan is, find out what the plan is. And then don't let anything prosper against that plan. Because if you let anything prosper against that plan, the Bible clearly, I'm showing you, says no weapon formed can prosper. So if you're saying, I can't, then you're saying that situation or that person or this thing is bigger than the Word. Because the Word says no weapon can prosper. And you got to get past the thing that's prospering in your life. There's something prospering. Something is going to be prospering. Either the things of the devil is going to prosper in your life to keep you from doing the work of God, or the Word of God is going to start working in your life that will prosper you. Because there's no weapon can prosper. No weapon can prosper that's formed against you. God's not against us. God is for us. God is for me. And there's nothing that can stop the plan of God if I want it to be the plan of God for me. Nothing. There's nothing that can stop it. There's no person that can stop it. There is only one person that can stop it. It's what you believe in your heart. It's what do you believe in your heart that will stop it. If you really believe in your heart something, that's what will start coming out of your mouth. But if you believe something enough, you'll say it. And you keep saying it, it'll lock you into bondage. So if you don't start saying this verse right here, start saying it today. No weapon. And every time you want to come up and say, I can't, you just counteracted the Word. You just negated the Word. Because if you ever, ever, ever say, I can't, you've got to find some scripture that gets that out of your mouth. My God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things, that I abound to every good work. So if you say, I can't, you just took a big eraser and erased that might be in your heart. That scripture might be in there, but you just made it a lesser verse, a lesser promise, a lesser truth. Because whatever you believe is what you'll have. So the going back to the revelation of the Word, this has got to be the most important thing. And finding out what does God have for you to do. The inward witness. The inward witness. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one lives in you. You're 1,000 times bigger on the inside because of the greater one who's in you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Thanks be unto God who always causeth me to triumph. You see, these are things that are in here and not in here. And it's overcoming promises. Because the overcoming one is the voice of God. The voice of God says. The voice of God talks. The voice of God has been talking for thousands of years. The scriptures have a voice. The scriptures are a person. The scriptures are the truth. The scriptures is God. The scripture is the Word of God. The Word of God is God. And so for you to say anything outside of what God has said for you, it is like you're calling God a liar. Really. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Word of God says. So we've got to get to a place where God is the truth and you're the liar. If you say anything contrary to the Word of God, you're the liar here, not the Word. The Word will always be the truth. You're the one lying on God. Don't tell me you can't. Well, all the times I said, I can't do that. I can't quit my job. I was the liar there. I was not seeing into the realm that God would want me to see into. And maybe just because I hadn't developed there yet. Maybe because I just had not got to that place yet to where I could really accept the truth about that. About the plan. Because I came to a point when he spoke to me and said, now I want you to quit everything. I want you to lay everything down and just give up everything. And I had to come to a decision to be willing and obedient to do that. You see, do you know you can be obedient and not be willing and being obedient? Oh, I'll pay my tithes. Yes. Oh, yeah, pay them tithes. Well, where's your willingness there? You're being obedient, right? Okay, yeah, I'll go pray for that person. Yeah, I'll go to the hospital. Well, where's your, I'll go buy that person. Willingness. The willingness has got to be there too. So there's a lot of things that we have not gotten and developed into. And this is not a condemning thing. This is just a developmental thing. I'm trying to help you see that serving God has got nothing to do it's your spirit starting to develop. Your human spirit develops. Willingness and obedience comes along in the human spirit. And once it ever kicks in, the willingness and obedience kicks in, you won't ever want to lie again. You won't ever want to be covetous again. You won't care what your neighbor has. You'll be so happy to just give him more, Lord. Just give him more. Just let me give him some myself. Seriously. You just get over in the spirit realm and your willing and obedience starts changing. You begin and molded and shaped into some new creature. That's what the Bible says. You're a new creature in Christ. All things pass away. All things become new. You're a new creature in Christ. So we're learning that the plan of God is always the plan of God for you. Now, he can change the plan. He can change the plan. But I don't want to go there because I could share some things about that. Because God showed me the plan that he initially had for me. The plan he initially had for me, I messed that up. I messed that up so bad. But one thing I can tell you about God, if you mess up plan A, or if you mess up plan B, or you mess up even plan C, D, E, F, G, he's got a plan. There's never an end to the plan. At whatever age and stage you are in your life, there's a plan for you. And it's based on who you are, your personality, your giftings, and you can kind of get an idea where you're supposed to go with the work and the plan that God has. He wants to get something out of us. He wants to get some good out of us. There should be no lazy believers in the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible says if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. So God wants us to work. God wants us to do something to be productive. He never created an unproductive thing ever. I mean, even trees reproduce. You know, trees are even working. Plants are even working. Everything is working in the kingdom of God. Okay, St. John chapter 14. I'm just going to touch on, these are the most powerful verses you'll ever study, ever, ever, ever. But chapter 14, and I'm going to pull out a few here. Verse 16. St. John 14, 16. 16 and 17. We're going to read 16 and 17. Everybody there? Okay. St. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Back to this resident thing. The Holy Spirit, who is in you, agrees with the Word of God 100% of the time. Just be aware of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And that truth, for example, no weapon formed against you, he really believes that. The Holy Spirit in you really believes that scripture right there. He's in you to believe, and because he's the one who put that verse there. You ever think about that? Holy Ghost was with God when he was making things. He was there when he spoke this. The Spirit, he's the one who inspired all the holy men of God. So the Holy Spirit now is in us. So if there's a scripture, something comes to us that God wants us to do, we've got somebody on board who knows if that's the right thing or not, or a wrong thing. Takes a lot of guesswork out of it all. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? So he, and going back to when I said that I was a guest in someone's home, get this right here. It's a revelation coming at us. Holy Ghost did not come to live in you to be your guest. He didn't come to live in you just to have a back room. He came in to fix you, teach you, guide you, comfort you, helper. He's a lot of things, and he came to get busy in you. He didn't come to sit on the sideline and watch you live out your life. He came to get in, he came to be there in your life, living in your life. He's living in me. He's working in me. And the more he can get me out of the way, the better he is, happier he is. But this is his home. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He owns this body. This body doesn't belong to me alone anymore. He owns this body. He has a right to it because God paid for it. It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. I've been redeemed not by corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. So my body belongs to God. He has every right to live in me and abide in me, and this is his home. So he's not a guest that I'm just giving him a chance to do what he wants to do in me. He wants to do something, he will tell me. And I'm supposed to say, yes, sir. Willing and obedient, I'll eat the good. It's about me eating the good. Now he don't need to eat the good, but I need to eat the good. I need to hear God. I need to hear God big time. So let's get some of this religiosity. Religion will just so hinder your walk with God. We think we just got God on board just to be there when we need him. I'm telling you, God wants to overhaul you and me. And he's been overhauling me for a long time. But he's waiting on me to get willing and obedient in the overhaul. Change some of the stinky thinking I got going on that disagrees with the word of God. Because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. Let me show you some more verses here that help you understand what I'm talking about. Look at let's finish reading here. Verse 16. And I will pray the comforter, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. All right. We got that established. Verse 14, 26. Here's something else about the Holy Ghost who abides in you. That you belong to him. He don't have a back room. You are his. Okay. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's a big promise. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, who's made his home in you, you're his temple, you're your body is his home. He's the one who will teach you things. Now, is he going to teach you just a few things? The Bible, that word all, I don't know if anybody ever researched the word all. Anybody ever meditate on the word all? I have so meditated on the word all. I thought around and think, all. What's all mean? I'm kind of weird like that. What's all mean? Let's just set it down and just be what it is. It is what it is. If it says all things, it means all things. It's like there's nothing not included in that. And how big is God's knowledge? How much does God know? He knows everything. He's all knowledge. He's all understanding. He's all revelation. He knows what. But he says he'll give you all things? I mean, are you sure that says all things? Yes. Yes, all things are available to you. All things. So the Holy Spirit, who is made a residence in me, I mean, he's got a right to be here. I'm bought with a price. I belong to him. So he said he's going to teach you all things. Some folks are hard-headed, though. I'm not looking in anybody's direction. Hard. That's what he'll say. Well, I'm hard-headed. Well, most of us are. I think 90% of us are hard-headed. But the Holy Spirit never gives up trying to get over a truth to you. He will continue and continue and continue to chip away at your old hardness of heart and get that truth over to you. Eventually, you might be walking down the street and all of a sudden you'll go, wow, is that what that meant? Holy Ghost will go, yeah, you finally heard me. You're finally hearing me. And you'll go, well, wow, that's pretty cool. But that's just a tiny piece of the puzzle. That's just a tiny block in the building. That is just one segment that you have to get before you can get the next thing. And so, God, help me. Help me, God. Help me hear your voice. Help me understand the inward witness. Help me listen to and be led by you. Help me to hear you when you teach me something. Let me be teachable. Whoa, that's a big one. Pray this prayer. I prayed that prayer. Whoa. Lord, I know I'm stubborn as an old mule. And I'll do it my way. And Just get out of my way. I'll make it happen. Just get out of my way. I can do this. Jumped in my brother's truck. I was left to babysit. I'm only about 26. I'm a Christian. But I had these 5 kids. I'm up here in a holler. And he left me with I had no vehicle. But he had a big old four-wheeler. I think that thing had 2 or 3 clutches in it. Big, giant truck. I grabbed them kids and put them in that thing, and I figured out how to drive that thing. So there's a tenacity in some of us that is there more than others. A drive to do whatever it is, you know, you really want to do. And so he says, I'm gonna teach you something. And once you ever get past being teachable, unteachable, because you got to do it your way, it's the way you figured it out to work. It's the most least painful way for you to get something done. It's the easiest road, because you will always take the easy way. Just mark this down. We don't like to go to too much trouble for God, okay? We don't like to go too much out of our way for God. And because we know God will let us get by with a lot of things. But being willing and obedient is the key, and it's the prerequisite to getting the good of the land. Because God, I believe, will make you rich if you'll be willing and obedient and listen to him and be led by his Spirit and guide you. And he will develop you and he will change you completely, completely inside out. He'll turn us upside down, turn us around. But it's about being teachable. We've got to be teachable. So God, help me be teachable. Help me be teachable. I started praying that a long time ago. God, I really want to be teachable. I know I'm hard-headed. I know I figure stuff out on my own. I'm smart. I think a lot of myself. I got a big attitude. I got pride. I got all this junk from past influences, fear of influence, right? And I've got all this past understanding, but I've still got to get that out of the way to hear God. Because he don't think like we think, and he doesn't talk like we talk. So the Holy Spirit who lives in me, he's teaching me, and he's leading me, and he's guiding me. But I got to be teachable. I got to be willing to hear the all things. And be willing to take a hard road if I got to take a hard road. I got to be willing to do the hard thing if that's what he leads me to do. If he's teaching me to do something tough, he's teaching me to, or telling me to do something hard, then I just got to be willing to do that. If it makes me unpopular, if people don't like me, if I obey God, then I have to decide. I'd rather obey God than obey people. I'd rather God like me and be happy with me than people being happy with me. It's really very hard sometimes to serve God 100% and do the all things thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. But being led by the Spirit of God is a powerful, powerful way to live. And as long as you know God is okay with you and you know God's leading you, then you've got peace there. There's an awesome peace that dwells there. Look at verse 26 again. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, everybody needs to look at that verse for themselves and say, that's me. That's me. He teaches me all things. He really does. And then he says, I'll bring all things to your remembrance. So everything he's ever taught you, everything the Holy Spirit has ever taught you, not what you've learned on your own, but what he's taught you, he said, I'll bring all those things back to you when you need them brought back to you. He said, I'll bring them back to your understanding, your remembrance. Whatever I have said unto you. If God has never given you a promise and God has never taught you anything, how can he bring it back to remembrance? He can't. He can't bring anything back to you that you've not allowed him to put in you. If you don't have even one all thing, how can he bring that one all thing back to you? It works like that. If he has never taught you anything and you've not been teachable to hear, then there's nothing there to bring back to your remembrance. There just isn't any information there from God. This is not head knowledge we're talking about this morning. We're talking about revelation knowledge that is of the Holy Spirit in your human spirit. And you'll know that God is bringing it back to your remembrance because, you know, you start talking to a friend or a neighbor and all of a sudden you're quoting scriptures and you're wondering, where did that come from? Well, the Holy Ghost must have taught you that or you wouldn't be in there to come out because he's bringing it back to your remembrance. See, we're working with God. He works with your spirit, your soul, your spirit, soul, and body. Belongs to him. Lock, stock, and barrel. You're his. Lock, stock, and barrel. Now go to St. John chapter 16. And look at verse 13. 16:13. Howbeit, when he, this is still Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit living in you, the inward witness. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, I think this one is one that I really lean on and trust in. Above all of them, I trust. But he says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Show you things to come. Anybody ever have an experience like that? He'll show you something that happens before it happens. I've had the Holy Spirit lead me and show me things. I think, why am I seeing that? Well, there's a reason. Okay. He'll lead me and guide me in a dream. He'll show me something in a vision. Or I've had the Holy Spirit lead me in a lot of things. But he promises right here that the Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, he will guide you. He will guide you. He will guide you. Now, this is probably the most important thing. I'm going to end with this thought, with this revelation. That guidance from God is crucial outside of guidance from man. Man will tell you, you can't do this. Man will tell you, you can't do this, and you can't go there, or you can't go here. Or man will tell you that you'll never amount to this, and you'll never be able to do that. And man will tell you, you'll always be sick, or you'll always be this, or what. Man will say a lot of things. But the Spirit of truth is the only voice you ever have to hear, ever. And he will guide you into truth. He will lead you and guide you into truth. So the guidance of the Holy Spirit is imperative. It's like major, major guidance. And if you don't listen and do what he asks you to do, and you're not being led by him or guided by him, well, we pick and choose. Well, I'll listen to God today because it's convenient. Or I'll listen to God tomorrow because it's convenient. But I don't think I'll listen to God here in this area, even though he's leading and guiding me in that, because it's not convenient. It doesn't feel good to my flesh. Or I might get jumped on, or I might be screamed at, or I might be cussed out. So I can't obey God here because it's not convenient. But being determined to be led by the Spirit of God is crucial to your prosperity. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You'll eat the good of the land. And that's the key. Eating the good of the land is what I'm after. Eating the good. Eating the good. Am I dependent on God? Am I dependent on man? Am I dependent on God? See, I could have never got to the place where I could have laid everything down if I was depending on man. I could have never been led to be here and be an influence in so many people's lives if I hadn't been willing to listen and be led by the Spirit of God. I said I was going to give you, that was the end verse. I got one more verse I want to give you. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. Now, not every Christian is going to be led by the Spirit of God. Do you think that's true? Not every Christian is going to be led by the Spirit of God. It's true. Even though Jesus promised all this, this is what it's going to be. He'll teach you, he'll lead you, he'll show you all things. But it doesn't happen automatically. Because there's somebody who's got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. There's somebody who's involved in this. The Holy Ghost ain't just going to dump on you and make you do anything. You're involved with this process. I'm involved here. I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to move to Midway. I didn't have to shut my office down. I don't have to do anything. He doesn't make us do anything. The devil's the only one that forces and drives us and intimidates us and pushes and and irritates us until we just finally give up. Like a kid that just keeps whining and whining and whining, and finally you just give in. Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Holy Spirit gives us direction. He says, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. And then you now have to be a willing and obedient to do it. Whether it's good or bad or feel indifferent, you just do it. So that's what obedience is all about. It's like a kid that you say, okay, come here. And they go, mm-mm. Come here. Mm-mm. Or do this. Mm-mm. That's the way we are with God. That's exactly how we are with God. I don't think so. I don't think so, God. Well, it's to own hurt if we don't do what God tells us to do. The inward witness will bring you full supply. The inward witness will bring you full provision. The inward witness has got to be obeyed, or it is not going to be fruitful in your life. You're not going to be fully fulfilled and fruitful if you do not obey the Spirit of God who is abiding in you and me. And I've missed him so many times. Oh my goodness, I've missed him. But I don't want to miss him anymore. Romans 8:14, it says, many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, sons of God obey God 100% of the time. True sons of God obey God. They are led by God. The Holy Ghost is on board. This is what true sons of God are going to be looking like in the kingdom. This is how God looks at us, and he expects us to shape up, ship up, or ship out, or miss out. You know, we don't want to miss out on the best. But if we can't get our old flesh to align up with the Word and get our old mindsets changed to where we obey God when he says to do whatever he asks us to do, and it's whatever he asks us to do. We can't pick and choose. God has plans that need to be fulfilled, and there's things that he's pushing us toward. Being led by the Spirit of God. Okay, so let's read this again now. Let me say it this way. And this is why I believe a lot of Christians hear this verse. For some of us are led by the Spirit of God. Some of us are led by the Spirit of God. You know that? There's some out there who are. There's some who are led by the Spirit of God. But we're all children of God. We all belong to God, even if we don't listen to God. And that's not what that verse says. It doesn't say that. It says, if you're going to be a son of God, you obey God 100% of the time. Does it not say that? That's what I hear. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. But we are, as in our Christian religious thinking, well, we can get by with not obeying God and being led by God, and we'll still be children of God. We'll still be his children. Because God loves everybody. And he does love everybody. But to walk in the fullness as a son and enjoy heirship as a son, because sons have heirs. Sons are heirs. There's things you've inherited as a son. And you'll never get over into sonship and enjoy the benefits of a sonship inheritance if you don't learn how to be willing and obedient and obey the voice of God. And obeying the voice of God is lining up with the Word of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, who's come to lead you and guide you into all truth. No weapon formed against you can prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon that's formed against me can prosper. I mean, all those scriptures are your promises that are to lead you and guide you. And everything he brings to your remembrance, you're to be quick on your heels to obey. Yes, sir. And I could give you a whole bunch of scriptures that he has given me. And he gives all of us. Because we're on equal ground with God. There's nobody God loves more than anybody else. He's going to give me more scripture than he's going to give you to live by. He's going to lead me to do something he wouldn't lead you to do. You know, Holy Ghost says, go pray. Man, I've slapped off the soap of my hands and hit my knees many a time. Because he said, go pray right now. See, there's twofold ways to be led. You're led because the Word says to do something. And you're led because the Holy Spirit speaks to you a word to do something. Go visit this neighbor. Go over here and do this. I know when I'm supposed to go do something for God. I know when I'm supposed to go. I feel the tug, the inward witness leading me and telling me, this is what you're supposed to do. Father, I just seal this word today. I thank you for the revelation of being led by your Spirit, because it could mean everything. It could mean life and death. It could be the difference of life and death. It could mean the difference in being rich and being poor. It could be the difference in when we know that you're leading us to do something. God, give every one of us the grace to be obedient, and not just obedient, but be willing in the obedience, and to trust you, God, for the best outcome, because you never lead us into bad things. You never tell us to do something that'll hurt us. Your will is always good. Your will is always perfect for us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to be willing and obedient so that we all can eat the good of the land. Bless Grace Fellowship Midway. Use us, God. Use this church to be a blessing and to help us, God, to be all that you want us to be in the earth, in Midway, and everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.